Now, last time we looked at this parable, we looked at where the tares go. They go to hell. But tonight, we look at where the wheat go. Where the wheat go. Chapter 13, Matthew 13 and verse 30, reading the last line. But gather the wheat into my barn. But gather the wheat into my barn. The first thing we want to see this evening in this chapter is no more tares among the wheat. No more tares among the wheat. The great harvest day has come, and the reapers have gone forth at Christ's command. The wheat and the tares in the field are cut down together, and no corner of the field is missed by the reapers. Now, it is to be noticed that the primary job of the reapers are to bring in the wheat. But first, the angels are employed to gather the tares first and to bind them for the fire which has been prepared for them. Not one single tare must be left in the field. As we saw before, the reapers are diligent. Diligent to their work. No tare will bluff their way out of the fire. Their fate is sealed. That seed sown by the devil himself, which has created so much mischief throughout the ages, must now leave the field. In this world in which we live, the wheat and the tares grow together, as we have seen before. They have been at enmity with one each other throughout the generations, but no more. The reapers now do their work swiftly and efficiently, and no tares are now left among the wheat. They must be cast into the lake of fire, never again to be seen by the wheat. To hell they must go, for the righteous judge of all the earth cannot look upon unforgiven sin. Yes, there shall be weeping, and there shall be gnashing of teeth. There will be no more tares among the wheat in the barn. And the second thing we see this evening is the seed is no longer scattered. The seed is no longer scattered. The farmer in the parable with the servants sowed good seed. They sowed good seed. And I have been at pains to say those words as often as I could in the previous 2 weeks of our talks, the good seed. In other words, the seed was scattered all over the ground. It was scattered all over, and in due time, the seed germinated, the sun and the rain combined together to make the wheat grow, and it has produced a great harvest. And here we have this wonderful picture of the good seed sown by Christ. The good seed sown by Christ, being gathered from the four winds and from every age. Not one good seed will slip through the reaper's hands. And this is the great ingathering of the saints of God, from Adam and Eve to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 patriarchs, including the gracious Joseph, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, that wonderful family, the great prophets, the minor prophets, the mighty apostles. All these people are now ingathered in the barn. If our loved ones died in Christ, our mums, our dads, brothers or sisters, uncles, aunts, grannies or grandas, all these will now be gathered into the barn. What a wonderful thing that is. And you and I will one day be gathered in to the barn. And that should stir our hearts. If that doesn't make us happy, if that doesn't bring a smile to our face, well then surely there's something wrong with our salvation. For what a wonderful thing it is to know that we will be in the barn. The psalmist says in Psalm 50, verse 5, "Together let my saints unto me gathered be, those that by sacrifice have made a covenant with me." No more will God's saints be scattered over this earth, but they are gathered together as one in heaven. So there will be no more tears. The seed will not be scattered. And the third thing we want to see is the wheat are secure. The wheat are secure. In this life, the wheat, the believer, is exposed to all the elements of this world. From we are born, we're exposed to all the sin that's in this world. No one teaches us how to sin. Of course, this we inherit from our parents and from our first parents, traced back right to the Garden of Eden. In this world, we suffer all the agonies that sin brings with it. We could say we have no security. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. It may bring sickness. And we know all about that in our little church. We know all about strife in our little church. And we know all about death in our little church. See, in this world, our hearts are often fearful. We're often insecure. We don't always feel God's presence with us. But not anymore. Not anymore. The reapers have gathered God's elect from the field, and we are now ready to shine in God's presence. We're now ready to shine in God's presence. Verse 43 of chapter 13. "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And maybe you're thinking, but we are to shine in this world. We're not to hide our light under a bushel. We're to shine like lights on top of a hill. And of course that's right. We are. We are to shine. But our shine in this world is a long way from the shining light that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in verse 43. There's no comparison between the light we shine here and the light that we will shine in the barn. Why is that? But you see, we live here among the terrace. Remember, we're growing together in the same field. We see the ugliness of their sin. We hate their sin as we hate our own sin. And today, maybe more than ever, the decisions taken by ungodly men and women are knocking the shine off the believer. All those ungodly decisions knocks our shine off. It doesn't matter whether we like it or not, that is what's happening. We cannot shine here upon this earth the way that we are going to shine when we reach the barn. So things are different when we're in the barn. The terrors are no longer a problem. They have been dealt with. And our own sin, which so easily besets us, is dealt with also. It's gone. No more sin. No wonder Jesus says these words, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." What a wonderful thing it is to be called righteous. If you and I could open the door to each other's hearts and have a look in, what would we see? What would we see? Would we see a heart full of righteousness? No, we would see a pit of sin. See? The more we get to know a person, the more we see their sin. Our wives, our husbands, our mothers, our fathers, our children, we can't hide our sin from these people the same way as we can with some people that we only meet occasionally. But let us give thanks that there is one who declares us righteous before the Father. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who keeps us secure in this insecure world in which we live. So the reapers have gathered in the harvest of wheat, and now we are secure forevermore. Where does the ingathered wheat go? Verse 30. They go into the barn, into heaven itself. Jesus looks at heaven, talks about heaven as the barn in the parable. And at the end of every harvest, the wheat must be placed in a barn, a place of security from the elements. In this world, the barn may be prone to natural disaster and the wheat lost, but not so with the wheat who enters into the Saviour's barn. The Saviour's wheat is most special wheat. He has given his life for the wheat. And now the Saviour of the wheat says, "Come, enter into my Father's house." And this is the joy of the believer when he closes his eyes in death. He does not lift up his eyes in hell as the rich man who fared sumptuously did, but rather we lift up our eyes in heaven and we see Christ. And what a joyful thing that is. You know, one of the greatest joys in this life is to return to our Father's earthly home. A home maybe where we grew up as a child. And we know every inch of that house. We know every inch of the garden, every inch of the barn, the shed outside. Our childhood memories are there. We explored every inch of our father's house. And you know, I believe it will be the same in heaven. You and I will enjoy exploring our father's house in heaven. There's only one difference. It will be an endless exploration. It'll be an endless exploration. A good friend of mine bought me a watch last year as a gift. But you know, we won't need watches in the barn. In the barn, time doesn't exist. That's hard for us, isn't it? That's hard for us to understand. We're used to 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day. We're used to the sunrise and the sunset. We're used to all these things. And we can't hardly understand what eternity really, really is. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. And the city, sorry, 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. In the barn there's no sun and there's no moon. The sun and the moon won't be orbiting the barn like it does here upon the earth. Because in the barn there's no need of these things. Because we're told that the Lamb of God is the light thereof. And here upon the earth we struggle with time. Work takes up so much of our time. Great pressure is put upon us to get a job finished on time. Will I get this job finished in time so that I can get to the prayer meeting this evening? These children that we have demand so much of our time. Well, it's different in the barn. It's different in heaven. We will have time. We will have time. You see, you won't be waking up in the morning and you won't have to turn the light on. You won't be crawling out of bed and wondering, will these legs take me to the bathroom? You won't be turning on your radio to hear the latest catastrophe to hit the world. Those children won't be shouting, Mom, Dad, where's my breakfast? Why? Because time doesn't exist in the barn. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of heaven. Time doesn't exist in eternity. If a little bird came every day and picked up a grain of sand from a beach, and it took him a million years to clear the beach, it would only be a second in eternity. And even that second is far too long to explain eternity. Have you ever asked yourself, what's heaven like? What's heaven like? Well, we know that the Lamb of God is the light of heaven. But can you understand that? Can our little minds truly understand that? How heaven is going to be lit up by Christ? It's hard for us to understand these things because of our present state of sin. You see, the Lord Jesus tells us very little about heaven. And that's why preachers don't preach on it very often. Because they have so little to go on. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't sit down his disciples and tell them exactly what heaven is like day after day, hour after hour. He didn't do that. Then we're told that these bodies of ours will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. They're going to be, we're told, like Christ's body. Like Christ's glorious body. But again, what is that truly like? Can you understand that? Can anyone really and truly understand this? There's so much we don't understand. But brethren, don't let these things bother you. You see, if Jesus thought it was going to be good for us to tell us what we would be doing in heaven, then he would have told us. He would have told us. And I believe Jesus wants us to rejoice now on earth about the things that are not in heaven. I believe that Jesus wants us to rejoice now on earth about the things that are not in heaven. What are these things that are not in heaven? Well, we have learned from the parable that there will be no terrors in heaven. No terrors in heaven. Revelation 21 verse 4 says, no tears in heaven. No death in heaven. No sorrow in heaven. No more crying in heaven. No more pain in heaven. Think about those things. No more tears. No more having to listen to God's name being taken in vain. No more idols of Mary, Buddha, and the likes of to look at anymore. These things causes pain here upon the earth. No more tears at death. No more doctors required. No more tablets to take. No need of a pharmacist in the barn. No need of hospitals. No need of undertakers. No need of coffins to look into. No more funerals to attend. No more sleepless nights, wondering will a son or a daughter come home. No more troublesome bosses. All these things have brought us sorrow and crying and tears. But in the barn, they're gone. They're gone. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There's no tears in the barn. Why? Because you and I are the good seed. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are the good seed sown by Jesus Christ. Get it into your heads. Get it into your hearts. And don't let it slip. And as we walk out into the world tomorrow, whatever it throws at us and against us, just remember that you are the good seed. There's no tears in the barn. In the barn, the seed is no longer scattered. In the barn, the wheat is secure. In the barn, we live with Christ forevermore. And we get to explore our Father's house for all eternity. The subject of heaven is not one we will hear preached on very often throughout our lives. How many times have you heard it? I would say very, very few. No matter how young or how old you are, I would say that you have heard very little about what heaven is really like. And one of the reasons for that is that there's very, very little to go on. But he tells you what's not there. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us what's not there. And I believe he does it for a reason. To help us to live upon the earth now. Think rather of these things. These things that are not in heaven. Because these things will rejoice our hearts here upon the earth. There's no more terrors in heaven. The seed is no longer scattered. We're all together in the barn. A big happy family of God's people. No longer scattered. And we're secure. You and I, the wheat, are secure in the barn. And we get to live in the barn and explore our Father's house forevermore. What a wonderful thing. Surely this should bring a great joy to our hearts. And may God bless it to all of our hearts this evening. Amen.